The opinions expressed by the host and guests on Where Did the Road Go are their own and do not represent those of WVBR or its management. Our aim is to explore the fringe, lost civilizations, alternative science, the paranormal, and much more. Join us on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com, where you can send us questions for our live or future guests via email or the live chat room. And remember to subscribe to us on iTunes. And now welcome to this week's edition of Where Did the Road Go?
And I am your host, Soraya, as always. And this week in studio, we have the... I'm going to screw up the orders. Is it Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes?
Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes, yeah.
All right. And we have Peter and I forgot
Patty.
Patty, okay. And that's not supposed to keep playing. All right. And you are from where?
Well, I am from the Brooktondale area.
I'm from Lansing area.
Okay, so that's relatively close to here in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm. Ithaca area, mostly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, have you grown up here?
Yes.
Okay, and your brother's a part of this too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So you're all, it's like a family
group.
It's a family group. Okay. And it's a small, it's the way we like it, keep it small.
And when did you start doing this?
About 5 years ago, approximately. And there's a couple of things that got us started. First of all, when we were young and growing up, our grandmother would tell us stories about a man coming through the wall. And it scared us, terrified us, actually. I always blame her for me sleeping with my head under the covers for years. And then we kind of, back in the 70s, 60s, you didn't hear as much about the paranormal. It wasn't as accepted.
Right.
And she kept kind of quiet about things, and we kind of forgot about it. But my father was dying of cancer in 2005, and he was a very logical, scientific person, mm-hmm. and he would think what we were doing is crazy if he knew that now. And he probably does know it now, but I think he's found out different. The thing is, he would talk to his dead mother as he was dying. He would say things like sternly say, "No, not now," and look away like he's talking to somebody who wasn't there. He tried to introduce my sister to his Uncle Gus, who was a favorite of his that had been dead for 40 years, just like, you know, introducing us.
Right.
And for us, that was so unusual. And we couldn't believe that Dad was acting like this. He saw a little girl at a card game before he even got sick, really, and insisted there was a girl at our family card game that no one else saw, and was kind of mad when we said, you know, "We don't know who you're talking about, Dad." And I'd had some activity at my house. I had a radio that came on after 25 years of not using it. Batteries were all corroded, and it just spontaneously came on. It was like to a normal radio station. It wasn't anything spooky.
It wasn't plugged in either.
And the batteries, you know, should not have been working after 25 years. And I had a camp light that came on, and that kind of sparked our interest, like, what's going on here? And we saw the Ghost Hunter shows on TV, and we thought, gee, we could do that. And so we did.
You had activity the other night.
Yeah, I actually had activity I have a landline phone, and I'm in the same room, and all of a sudden, the speaker phone comes on, and I hear this loud dial tone all over. And some people say to me, "Do you ever run out of your house screaming?" It's like, no, I just went over and turned it off.
I try to debunk it, too, because I'm the scientific part of it. I want to debunk it, and there's no way. You'd have to really physically push that down pretty hard.
Right.
So that was pretty interesting.
So you just get used to it. And we've heard so many stories now from people that it doesn't shock me as much as it once did.
Did it ever really scare you?
There was one house that we went to, and it's kind of scared me afterwards, the more that I learned about this house. And there was people getting scratched, and the lady was going to the ER with, like, panic attacks and such.
She's being held down in bed as well.
Yes. Right?
The panic attacks were coming.
Yeah, so she had a good reason to be panicked. Yeah. And, they moved out. We've got evidence there, quite a bit of evidence, motion lights going off, EVPs. And they moved out. And after they moved out, a couple of months later, another couple contacted us on our guest book, and they were having the same issues as the family before, and guess what? It was the same address.
when they said the address, I knew right away. They actually called me. I'm like, yep, same house, same activity. And they didn't know the first family, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the door would fly open. There was a latch. They watch a latch shoot and open, which is really hard to open by hand. Hmm. And then the door would fly open to the basement.
And what area was this in?
Hammondsport.
Where's that?
Up on, what is it? Not on Seneca Lake.
No, I don't. Is it Seneca
Keuka
Lake?
Keuka Lake, maybe.
No, maybe it is Seneca Lake. It's like an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. So it's by Seneca Lake.
Huh.
So it was quite a drive.
Was the activity there ever settled down?
It did. We finally took a medium in and actually stopped it. And she actually got physically sick when she went in. Hmm. And she seen the shadow, the dark entity in there. And it was that kind of hovering down because it knew she could see it. And she goes, yep, it's inhuman. It's not human that's messing with these people.
Huh.
She said she seen kids in the basement doing a ritual. They're on a circle, and they opened it up. She goes, it's all, and that's what it seemed like. The basement door was flying open. It was all coming up from the basement. Hmm. So every family that had been there, they'd say the basement door would fly open, and then the house would get crazy. So, and that's what she's seen, the kids sitting in a circle with candles and doing rituals in the basement. And rituals, you know, they can open up doors. You got to be careful.
But what kind of evidence did you come away with from that one?
We got some grunting and growling, and it's funny,
EVPs.
We actually lost the EVPs, which is really weird. It's probably on a drive or something somewhere.
And, you physically lost them.
Yeah, we physically lost them. It was really weird. But yeah, we had growling noises and grunting noises. We heard people, we were in two different rooms, and we hear people walking down the hallways. I'm like, is that you, Patty? And I'm on the bed. I'm sitting on the bed. Well, something's walking down the hallway, so we could physically hear people in the house.
And we had a
around.
Lot of motion light activity. Nobody would be in the basement, and yet motion lights were coming on, or nobody would be on the third floor, and yet there was motion lights.
One was pointing in the closet, and that's where the kids reported the closet doors would slide open because they were the sliding doors, mm-hmm. and they'd see six or seven shadow figures come out of the closet and stand around their bed. You can imagine the kids are terrified.
Yeah, as a kid, that would be horrifying.
It was horrifying, yeah. The kids were like, they were done. And they all got scratched inside their legs, in the middle of their back.
And why do you think scratching is so common in these encounters?
I don't know. It was more like a scare thing. I think it's a scare. I don't know, some reason with
or
the family.
Or a way to get attention. Yeah. We were talking about that today. Sometimes a little kid might scratch you, not on purpose, but as a way to grab your attention.
Right. But yeah, I think it was a little worse than a kid though, because we have like kid spirits. They might, a little kid, and they might try to scratch and get your attention. But I think that was worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that place was.
They would actually feel the burning on their back before it happened, so they learn get the heck back downstairs because your back's going to get scratched. So when they felt the burning sensation in the middle of their back, they ran downstairs.
So it starts with a burning. Is that normal that it always starts with a burning?
That's what they said. Like inside
their leg,
like one guy had, the kid had jeans on, and he felt his leg burning, he pulled his jeans down, he had scratches inside his leg, which was really strange. So, and they didn't have any pets or anything, and the guys are usually a little more macho,
right.
But the father, he's like, my arm went up in the middle of the air, and started shaking, and I heard a growling noise, and I had bite marks around my arm, and it was bleeding, like a dog had it.
Huh.
So it was really strange. He was freaked out, too.
They were very happy when they moved out, and nothing followed them.
They were terrified. They slept in their kitchen the last week. They pulled all the mattresses down. They slept in their kitchen. They wouldn't even go upstairs if they didn't have to.
But most of the time, the things are family members, things that aren't that scary. And when we first went into this, it was more like we wanted to get the scientific evidence and, oh, isn't this picture great? Isn't this EVP great? But in the meantime, we found out we were helping people. And it's kind of a good feeling that people will call you and say, you're going to think I'm crazy, but. And then we reassure them, no, I've had activity in my house. We get calls like this all the time. It's not that unusual. And what we find when we do the lectures and all, people are willing to share their stories because they know we're not going to say, oh, my God, where did you come up with that?
Especially when we say they had a sensitive grandmother or psychic grandmother. And they're like, okay, well, okay, that's cool. And then they share the story. Well, you know, I have some sensitivities too, and I can see people. I'm clairvoyant or whatever, and I can see, you know, full body apparitions in my house. So
I'm surprised that didn't rub off on your father more.
It was the opposite side of the family. This was his mother-in-law.
And that's the genes get passed down. We know, we've found out that your grandmother, great-great-grandmother, or whoever it is, can pass his genes down, just like a baseball player has a good, you know,
do you think it's
athletic
kind of like,
ability.
Do you think it's just a matter of being able to see slightly outside the normal spectrum or being able to hear just outside the normal spectrum?
Yeah, you're actually in a different realm. You can go in a different realm. Actually, we see people with near-death experiences. They die and come back.
Right.
And you've had some friends, and I know some people that once they die and come back, you're almost in that realm and you come back.
Yeah.
You can
more
see.
More sensitive.
You're more sensitive to it. Mm-hmm.
There was a great study, I've said it many times in the show, by Kenneth Ring, who did a lot of work with near-death experiences, but one of the things he did is look at the after effects.
Right.
And he actually compared UFO abductees and near-death experiences and showed they both had after effects that they wouldn't have if they made this stuff up or imagined it. It increased IQ. It increased sensitivity to things. It just had a whole range of things that only happened to these people.
Right.
So they're encountering something that's a little bit different and that opens them up.
I actually, when we interview people, I ask them, did you have a near-death experience? Why? What do you think you're sensitive? Or some people, they don't know they're sensitive, and they're like, I don't know why I'm seeing all this stuff.
Yeah, they call us in, and they haven't discovered it. And actually, a couple of the people that have called us in, and then they discover they're sensitive, have went out with us on cases, and they're developed enough now that they're accepting of their gift.
Now, of course, there's always going to be people who have mental illnesses who are seeing these things. And how do you sort that out when you talk to someone?
There is a fine line. We've actually had people go to the doctors and do sleep study tests. You know, there's different ways you can do that. Or, you know, like you say, you can see a doctor and get cleared and then come back to us.
Right.
They're
right.
Like, you're fine. You checked out. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You can see things.
Because I know any skeptic, if they hear, well, you're pinned down to the bed, they're going to call it sleep paralysis.
Right.
And in some cases, maybe it is, but in some cases, it's not necessarily the answer.
But you know, in that one case in Hammondsport, the sister went up. She goes, oh, you want to stay overnight? Go sleep in my bed. And the sister had the same issue being held down in bed.
Right.
She goes, I knew it just wasn't me. Because the sister goes, what the heck is wrong with your house? She says, I felt my shoulders going down inside the mattress, like, physically going.
Yeah, that's freaky.
That's freaky, and she couldn't move. She goes, that wasn't, you know, sleep paralysis, that's the same person. When you have multiple people with the same issue,
yes.
That's what we look for, is multiple witnesses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was kind of interesting.
And when did you start doing this?
Well, let's see. I think it was
about five years ago.
Okay.
But I've always traveled. I stayed in the Lizzie Borden house.
Really?
And, anything you can think of, the crazy houses, I've been there probably, too.
And Gettysburg got us
I've been doing
interested.
This for years.
We've been to Gettysburg several times and started reading the Mark Nesbitt books on ghost encounters that he had. And so then we started looking for things and talked to people that had things happen to them down there. So that kind of got us more interested, too. And it started
to become
more acceptable.
Yeah, well, definitely in society it's becoming more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just a trend or if it's because of all the exposure on popular media. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to tell.
I think it's a little bit of everything, but I think the realm's getting thinner. Believe it or not, because we're getting more calls. I don't know maybe it is because of TV, because people are seeing stuff.
Or maybe they're not afraid to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're getting more calls. I think people are getting more spiritual and more, it's not so much as church, they're getting more open to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, the media has created that. So we get calls all the time.
I used to say 50% of the people would have a story. Now I've upped it to 75.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I find a lot of skeptical people, if you push them, they'll be like, well, there was this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And they do that. Well, I don't really believe in that. They start off with that. And then they go farther down the road. Well, I did see my grandfather stand by my bed after he passed. And he wanted to say he loved me. And it's like, how can you be a skeptic if you've seen that? I don't get it.
And actually, even our dad.
But they don't want to tell you.
Our dad would always be. But he did say that when his grandfather died, who he was very close to, he saw this little angel.
Yeah.
This was in Japan. And it was at the exact time that his grandfather died here. Mm. And he would say, I don't believe that stuff, but I did see an angel once.
It's like, how can you not believe? I don't get it with the skeptics, but...
And you don't have to have a religious belief behind
no.
it.
No.
Just to say, hey, I saw something that I can't explain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. there might be more to existence than the material world.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we've done Islamic people, we've done Catholic people. It doesn't matter what faith you are, they have activity.
Right, because the activity doesn't discriminate.
Nope. Exactly. They're going to get you no matter what. You're going to have activity. So.
Now, of course, people will sometimes have a priest or something come in and go through the house. Have you found that works for people or no?
Sometimes it does, and sometimes it actually makes it worse. We did a house out toward Moravia. Just did it like last month, and the priest came in. You know, she's very religious. She's Catholic, and she said, "I'll have the priest bless the house." And the house went crazy after the priest, and it made it worse. And she's like, what do I do now? And she goes, she called us up, and then she canceled. And then she's like, well, I would go to the priest. So he goes, yeah, if they can help you. So she actually got the blessing to actually have us come in the house, the okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we came in, and actually, it was bad. It felt bad in there. But we fixed it. I mean, there's no problems now. So
what did you do that drove this thing out?
Well, I work with a psychic medium. Mm-hmm. She cleanses houses, and she's also an ordained minister. She's got many abilities. And she actually, her hand got burned when she was in there. She came out with her blood running off her hand. So she said it wasn't an attack, but I don't know. It was pretty bad burn. I
never, she said it wasn't an attack?
Yeah, she said that because the entities, they got that power where if they touch you, they can burn you.
Okay.
She goes, they don't realize what they can do to you, but I don't know. But she cleaned the house. She took the sage, did her blessing in the house, and it's quiet now. So
a lot of times what we'll do is go in first, see what evidence we can get, not polluted with, oh, I think I see something here or there. And then... if people want to have the house cleaned, we will have somebody come in. And we know people that are a good help to us.
And I heard my name called twice. I was in the kitchen. I'm scientific. I don't really, you know, I'm not a psychic or anything. But I heard my name called. It was like a loud Peter, like that. I was like, who's calling my name? Are you guys? So on my digital back, I guess, who is that? Who's saying that? A girl answers me, and she goes, I did.
Wow.
So a spirit answered.
So that's
back.
Kind of intelligent.
Yeah, that's intelligent. They knew we were there. So that was pretty cool. I didn't pull that EVP. We just got it, so.
Okay. Well, next time.
Yeah, but it's weird to hear your name called in the house, and you're like looking around. There's nobody in there.
Right,
you?
Right. Huh. Now, you deal with, how many mediums do you normally deal with?
I've dealt with a couple different mediums. Actually, I try to stay with the same one.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good. She's been doing it for years. Lorna Reynolds is her name. She does hypnotherapist. She's a hypnotherapist too.
Okay.
So if people have like issues themselves, she can help them. We've done some stuff where she removed attachments, physical attachments to people. And she's like, they got some attached to her. There's more than one person there. I'm like, how do you know that? She goes, I know. So when she put them under, they started talking as another person.
Huh.
So they said a different name. I got it videotaped. It's pretty crazy. I wouldn't say their names or anything.
Right, right.
But when she put them in, they're out. They're under her hypnosis. They're talking as another person. She's like, you need to leave. I'm like, what? Is something you see in a TV show? I'm like, what am I getting myself into here? I was waiting for her to get up and start choking us, you know? And she got done, her ailments disappeared that she had.
I would say we have three or four that are very good.
Yeah.
We don't trust everybody off the street.
Right, right.
We just want to know that they
well,
know what
there's
they're
plenty
doing.
Of, there's plenty of both frauds and delusional people out mm-hmm. there as part of the problem.
Right. But this one's so good, she actually tells me before we get to the house.
What's going to...
The people that living are there, how many people, what the upstairs looks like. She can remote view, which is really cool. And she starts telling me the activity. I don't tell her anything. I tell her zip. Because I don't want to mislead her.
Right, right.
She tells me what's going on before I even get to the house.
Which is kind of interesting.
She's all the little girl's shy. She wears big glasses. She hides behind her mother. I'm like, yeah, the living girl.
Right, right.
And like, the mother's this, and you know, the guy, yeah. I'm like, wow, yeah, you just named everybody in the family. I didn't give her names or anything, so.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I've always been skeptical on the medium thing because it seems like it's also a matter of interpretation. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's not black and white, and it seems like it would be hard to get the data right all the time.
Well, she doesn't get cold. You know how they cold read? Mm-hmm. You know, people. She doesn't do that. She just tells people like this and that. I'm like, wow, she just knows stuff. She did that today. We were we were doing a lecture today, and I had a girl come down from Rochester. She says, oh, you're the girl from Rochester, aren't you? And she was sitting in a crowd. I'm like, how did she know that? She's a psychic medium.
Nice.
She's like, how did she pick me out of the crowd and know I was from Rochester? I don't know. She's a psychic medium, so.
Now, when she was doing the hypnotherapy on someone, could that have been a past life that was also coming through?
We're actually studying that. We have Ithaca College students doing a study on us, and
really? They
put someone under and doing a past life. It's really cool. And, you know, she's saying, my name's Sarah back in the 1900s or way down to the 1700s, and she brings them through their past lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
And how are they studying it?
They're actually doing not a paper. They're doing something with the Ithaca College. So they're actually following us around.
They will go out.
Yeah.
On some of the investigations.
Oh, so they're actually working with you, not necessarily past life stuff.
No, they're working with us, but they work with a medium, too.
Oh, okay.
So they've been out with us, too. They're seeing how both sides work. How the medium works and how we work. We work scientifically and then the medium, and they're fascinated. But I've seen them do the past life. It's really cool that she can do that, and they bring them through the past life, and they're out, you know.
Yeah.
I've been shy, you know, I say die, and it's pretty interesting.
Actually, before we go any further, why don't you give people your website so they can check that out as well?
Okay, it's Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes. If you just type that in, you'll go right to the website.
Just ghosthuntersoffingerlakes.com?
Yeah, I guess it would be .com. Yeah, I think.
Yes, yeah. ghosthuntersoffingerlakes.com.
Yeah, I should have added that, I guess.
And you do have video and stuff up there?
We have video and audio. We got EVPs.
We have a recent addition, a couple of videos I really like. One is of a kid's toy, a teddy bear. Coming on, we had cameras on it for like 4 hours. Nothing happened, and the people had said that was one of their issues, the kids' toys coming on. There was a remote control car that tried to climb the stairs with just on its own. And so finally, after about 4 hours on the tape, the teddy bear comes on, moves his little hands, and
Yeah.
It makes people feel great when the stuff that they have seen, we actually get.
Yeah. It was sitting there for like 4 hours. It was almost 3 o'clock in the morning. That seems to be the magical hour, between two and 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that thing just started clapping, and you have to, you know, physically touch it to make it go off. So,
Did you ever try to check for electromagnetic fields and stuff like that?
Yep. When we have all the equipment, we try to. We're pretty big into debunking and trying to figure out, you know, the battery's bad. I got things I can check the batteries. I can do, you know, whatever.
And
my brother's a huge debunker, I guess.
Yes, he is. And if there's anything that he feels there's any controversy at all, it doesn't go on the site.
It doesn't make it. If it doesn't make the cut, like the whole flashlight thing going off with a little spring loaded in the back, you know, you loosen the back up. It's cool, but my brother's like, that's a spring in the back. The spring loosens, your flashlight's going to come on and off, so...
Yeah, but saying actually has to push on the thing to make the connection though too.
Right, I'm on the fence on that too. So,
well, better to be more cautious about putting stuff out there than put stuff out there that has rational explanations.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, you got to be a little overcritical. Yep.
You got to be critical of what your own stuff. Yeah, and that's kind of what we do.
And how many have you ever encountered someone who's just trying to pull the wool over on you?
You know,
there was a picture that was sent to us
pictures.
A little girl at Stewart Park. Remember that?
And it was photoshopped. My brother's like, no way. It's been overlaid because he'll scan it. And he's like, my brother's like all over it. He goes, that's been scanned.
It looked great to me. And when I first saw it, it was like, oh, my
goodness. It was down at like Stewart Park, and it shows this girl see-through on a park bench. Mm. My brother's like, I don't know. So he scanned it. He's like, that was fake. So, yeah, we've disproved. I've had people scan my pictures. They're like, oh, I can prove your pictures are fake. I'm like, go ahead. Because there's no, we drag and drop our pictures. We don't touch them. And
the only thing we'll do sometimes is enlarge them so you can see.
Yeah, but that we're not Photoshopping. And they send me back the scanned pictures like, I don't see anything wrong. There's nothing. There's no overlayments. I'm like, I told you. So you can do anything you want. The fact, what's that, faked in fact?
Oh, Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Fact or Faked?
Yeah, Fact or Faked. They're like, can we check out? Yeah, check out our stuff. They actually checked it out? Yeah, they contacted our site. I'm like, go check it out. And they never got back to us. So guess what? They probably didn't find anything.
Yeah, probably nothing interesting enough to put on the show.
Exactly.
I kind of have issues with that show. Like, I like some of the stuff they do, but other stuff, it seems like they go in with a predetermined idea.
Exactly.
They don't explore all the possibilities. It's kind of like, well, let's just take these two possibilities and not look at everything else.
They already got it during the heads, like lens flares. It's this.
Because
I watch that show too a little bit.
I started watching. I said, okay, this sounds like a good idea. Oh, it's hit and miss depending on which episode it is and who's doing it.
Right.
So, but a lot of the stuff on TV is like that, unfortunately.
I've debunked stuff on TV, actually, when they're doing it. And I see, I want to mention his name, the younger ghost hunters. He put his hand over the camera, night vision lens. And when you do that, you make a shadow. And he did that, and he put his hand over. He goes, oh, did you see that shadow? I'm like, yeah, you just created that with your hand. You put it over the I'm like, I'm debunking it as he go. And he's like, there's a shadow person. And he put his hand over the night vision.
This was Ghost Hunters that did that one?
The Ghost Adventures.
Oh, Ghost Adventures.
I'm like, he just created his own shadow guy. And I would say Ghost
the only one I can really watch at this point is Ghost Adventures, and partially because I just find them funny.
They are funny. They're a riot,
they are
man.
Funny.
Like, they seem like entertaining people, even if the stuff seems a little questionable at times. But I think when you get into that thing with TV, you got to keep the ratings going.
So that's right.
If you have too many cases with nothing going on, you kind of got to maybe generate a little something to keep people interested.
That's just what I was going to say about that.
They do get a lot of EVPs, and I like that they try everything because that's what I do. I try all the equipment. You see, I have a lot of handmade stuff, homemade stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, vibration box, pick up footsteps. You can actually, the geofoam. As she picks up something walks up the stairs, you're actually going to see the vibrations of it.
Wow.
And it would be the same with us. If we had to put out a TV show every week, it wouldn't happen because some places you go to, there's evidence and great evidence. Some places, not so much.
Actually, they did, I'm not going to say their names, but a producer did do one of our investigations, and they called me up. And they're like, well, you can't say that on TV. You got to say this. I'm like, I'm not going to get on national TV and lie. They know I investigate. And they're like, well, we got to make this up. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. So I refuse to do it. I'm not doing it.
So. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the fate of television, you know. There was another one that I forget what channel had on called Chasing UFOs.
Okay.
And the guy who was doing it was apparently not, I wasn't familiar with him. Watched the show and I was like, this is awful. And later he went on and he's like, he's like, that show was awful and it's not my fault. He's like, they basically told us people like to watch people running around in the dark with night vision.
Right.
You know, it's like, that's what we were just doing what they told us to do. That wasn't what they said they were going to let us do. And
it's these producers that they've never investigated anything. And they just make up their own idea of what they think is right for TV.
And they're not interested in finding anything. They just want ratings.
It's all about ratings. Yep.
It does make it hard on these people. It seems to me like Ghost Hunters started out with a more genuine treatment, and then after a while it seemed like, okay, they're faking that. That was really obvious that they faked that. And
there was a couple episodes we questioned. Yeah.
I think the one that did it for me was the live one they did on Halloween, the last live one on Halloween.
Me too, yep.
And it was just, there was some stuff that was so obvious. And it was the tug on the coat? Yeah.
They did the exact thing, and he had his hands in his pocket.
Yep.
So you could have had something like pushing it.
Or the voice as he walks past the doorway.
Yeah.
And he's sitting by himself and everyone else leaves and they come back. What happened? Oh, it turned off on its own. But there was no camera there to see it.
Right. They never catch it.
Yeah.
It's a personal experience.
And it was kind of like, okay, this one's too much.
I always say that too. If you don't have a cameras running and catch it, it's a personal experience. It never happened. Yeah. To me, it never happened.
It's just a story.
It's just a story. I said, let's get the cameras on and get the video set up first because if something does. We had a flashlight pick up off the monitor and fly across the room. And my brother is a huge skeptic. And he's seen it. And I'm like, did you just see that? I'm like, yeah. So we didn't have any cameras hooked up yet. He's like,
so it was just a story.
It went whizzing right by our head. I'm like, nobody's ever going to believe that. He goes, yeah, it's just a story now. That's where that came up.
And the thing is, some things is hard to dismiss as just stories, though. I mean, because people seem genuine when they're telling you the stuff. The problem is you can't use it as evidence.
Right. It's not evidence. So.
But we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to play some of your EVPs, because some of them are quite good. And you're listening to Where Did the Road Go? We have here the Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes. We have Peter and...
Patty.
Patty. I'm going to remember that. All right. We'll be back in 45 seconds.
The opinions expressed by the host and guests on Where Did the Road Go are their own and do not represent those of WVBR or its management. Join us on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com, where you can send us questions for our live guests via email or the live chat room. You can also check out our upcoming schedule, blog, link section, book reviews, videos, and links to our Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and much more. That's wheredidtheroadgo.com.
And we are here with the Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes, and we've been talking about different stuff you've done, and you've gotten quite a bit of quite a few interesting EVPs,
yep,
to say the least. And we don't have some of your newer ones here, but we have some of your older ones. And what do you make of EVPs in general? What do you think's going on?
EVPs. When I look for an EVP, I look for either a intelligent response, which when something answers you and you ask a question, you get an intelligent response. That means usually it's there with you and it knows what's going on. It can communicate with you directly. If you get something residual sounding, like someone just saying bathroom or a door closing or, you know, something residual,
the
you don't
bullet
know.
Whizzing.
That was, is residual. The bullet noise is residual, probably. You know, obviously there was nobody shooting in the bar that night, you know, so that's residual noise.
Which one was that? Let's play that for people.
That was in Wayside Inn.
That's what, there it is. I got it. This is just a short 2-second clip. So here we go. And to me, it definitely does. I mean, it sounds like a bullet whizzing, but it also could almost sounds like a shriek at times.
Right.
Was that really low in the recording?
No, actually, it was. Well, we had to up it a little bit, but it was pretty loud. I mean, it didn't play very loud there, which is kind of strange.
Well, it did in the headphones.
Oh, it did in headphones.
Oh,
okay.
If you have headphones over there, pop them.
Okay, that's why. Actually, it's connected with a wartime, the bar. It goes way back in the Revolutionary. So it actually, they've seen a guy in that type dress or makeup. So they actually, when we heard that bullet noise, it was like, oh, the war. So we kind of connected that.
What do you think causes the EVP? Because you're not hearing it, right? It's only picking up on the recording.
We didn't hear it. It was quiet. So it's weird that you play back the recorder and you get it. It's just something we can't hear. I think there's a whole realm out there that we just can't hear. We don't have the sensitivity that the recorders pick up that we can't hear.
But why do you think the recorders pick it up?
I just think they're picking up a residual sound. I don't know. It's a good question because it's something that happened, and sometimes they replay events for you, like the whole the beating, the woman getting beat.
Yes, that's a really good one.
That was a 45-minute long thing, and a medium, I asked the medium, the psychic, she actually went in the house. She goes, you know, a girl got killed here. She got beat and thrown down the stairwell. She got thrown in the last part of it. It's clipped out there, though. It's a loud, huge crash noise. That could have been the girl getting thrown down the stairs.
Were you able to verify that happened?
We didn't, but there was some people probably. It goes so far back. The house is so old, late 1800s. A lot of times they didn't document a lot of stuff.
I didn't realize it was that old.
It was really old, yeah.
Okay, so this is the Taylor House argument. Now, when you recorded this, there was no sound at all, right?
It was completely quiet. It was abandoned.
They were disappointed. They didn't think they were getting anything.
Yeah, we thought
they listened to the EVPs.
We thought it was quiet, so we played back our recorders. We were shocked.
And how much is this boosted? Like, was this in the background, or was this pretty loud?
It was boosted, but no, this was pretty loud. Just playing it straight out was loud. We were shocked, actually.
All right, this is about a minute long. This is the Taylor House argument. And how long is it total, 25 minutes?
Well, 45. No, 45 minutes. It went on for a long time.
Wow, all right. Yeah. Here's just a clip of it.
Thank you.
And when that happened, there was no sound going on.
There was absolutely no sound. It was quiet. We were actually disappointed. We didn't think we got any evidence until I played it back. I'm like, what?
That must have freaked you out.
It did freak me out. I was like, what is going on? It was crazy. There was actually some cursing we cut out, too. The lady was actually cursing back at the guy. We cut that out for radio. It was bad. She cursed. And actually, it was the same lady that cursed me out. I asked if anybody was there. Mm-hmm. And she basically cursed me out, so it was kind of weird.
So it wasn't just a residual, it actually responded to you.
It responded to me, yeah, which is...
That could have been residual, the argument.
I think the argument was.
But the response that he got was definitely intelligent.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck? I just asked if anybody's here, and she's like, you know, you're a blanky blank. I was like, what the heck? I didn't hear it, but I played it back.
Were there people living at the house at this time?
No, it's abandoned. It's been abandoned for years.
Oh, okay.
It's a really old house.
The other EVP that you might want to play is we found a mummified dog.
Yes.
On the third floor.
Same house.
And we got a dog barking EVP.
So I'll play both of them. They're about 7 seconds total. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, you didn't hear anything.
We didn't hear anything. My brother got that. He had the digital recorder on his knee. But it's funny, we found the dog carcass upstairs after the fact, and we were like, oh, the dog got in.
Oh, so you got the bark first.
Well, yeah. When we later found the dog, I think we went back a couple times, and we found the dog carcass upstairs. And we're like, there's a dead dog up here.
So it seemed logical you might get an EVP of a dog barking.
Yeah, we were shocked. It was like, take a picture of that because that's crazy.
It sounds like a weird dog, though. It doesn't sound like a normal dog bark.
And that's what we said, too. It almost sounded almost like someone imitating. We almost didn't put it on there, but nobody was imitating it. We got it in the house, so...
And do you only pick these up on one? Like, do you have multiple recorders going?
Sometimes we do, multiple locations.
Do they only pick up on one?
Sometimes, yeah. We can be in the same, holding the same recorders, I mean, 5 feet apart, and somebody will get a voice, the other person doesn't get it. So I don't know if they're just drawn to that person.
Or if they're, they must be imprinting directly onto the recorder.
Right.
And
right.
Otherwise, you would hear it, or even if you didn't hear it, both should pick it up if they're picking up a higher frequency or something.
Exactly. Yeah, so it is strange you pick up, and then, you know, sometimes you get different voices. You'll get a man's voice and a woman's voice. Really weird. Same. It's just weird.
Huh.
Yeah, you can't explain that.
It's a hard... I mean, I've heard a lot of bad EVPs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Ghost Adventures, I think, are great at that. Where I guess saying that's just... And they're like, hey, it said Zach and whatever. And you're like,
yeah, no way. No. Yeah, I always do that too, Mike.
But they do the clever, you know, put the words on the screen as you hear it. So then you're thinking, oh, it did sound like that. But if you close your eyes, there's nothing there.
See, and they put that thought. And when I play EVPs back for the owners, I want them to come up with their own conclusion. And if they come up with what I think, then I think I heard, then it makes more sense.
And you had one here that was really loud, but it didn't actually, was it the Clarence Hotel?
Clarence EVP? Hotel in the basement, yeah.
And you can't actually hear what it's saying, but you didn't hear anything when this happened.
We did not. We actually got some EMF hits at the same time, too.
Really?
Because it was kind of interesting. We got energy hits at the same time we got that, but we did not hear anything at all.
Okay, let's play this one. This one's about 29 seconds long. And starting off a little quiet.
Is there a line that you don't like? Is that why you break it?
Now you loop that.
That's looped three times. I was going to tell you that. So, yeah. We actually asked a question, though, because the people that worked there found broken wine bottles inside the thing, which was locked, and there was no way they could get by or get in there. And then they were throwing the wine bottles up against the wall, and they freaked out. So we were asking, did you throw the wine bottles up against the wall? And that's what we got as a response. So it was really weird.
And there's no... enunciation there at all. It's just a noise, but it's a noise that shouldn't be there.
Right, exactly. It's some kind of weird response that we couldn't make out. Well, we did get a response.
What kind of, let's move, well, were there any other EVPs we should play here? I know we went through a few of them. There was
the Gettysburg one.
That's pretty clear.
Which one is the Gettysburg one? I don't see it here.
It says Death and Gloom. It was in Devil's Den in Gettysburg.
Oh, Devil's Den, okay.
Yeah, Devil's Den, yeah.
All right, this is only 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's quick.
See, I would say that's not quite enunciated enough.
Yeah, it's kind of I could have amped that up a little bit so you could hear it. It's kind of low.
There were a few others we pulled here. There was the Get Out.
Get Out, yeah.
And that's from the Ovid area.
Yeah.
Do you want us to leave?
It's funny because I said, "Do you want us to leave?" Right after that.
Yeah.
It's almost like got that impression that they want us out of there. Sometimes you get that feeling that they don't want you there.
Right. Is it an oppressive sort of feeling?
It is. It's like somebody's watching you. It's a weird feeling that someone's like standing over us. Actually, the other night we were in a house. We're in the guy's basement. We heard a heavy breath that was right by the guy's neck. And we all heard it. We're like, "Did you hear that?" And my brother heard it on the monitor upstairs.
Wow.
He's like, "Something really heavy. It was a guy's breath." And the guy's like, "You heard that, right?" I said, "Yeah, we heard that heavy breath." It was real like that. It was right behind him, too. So I don't know. It's the same place he's seen a shadow person. So it's kind of interesting.
And this one says Seneca House, Get Out?
Seneca House, yeah. This is right down here on Seneca Street.
Oh, okay. Let's hear this one.
Yeah.
Just a get on that one.
Yeah. Well, the last part's really, you can't hear it very well. It's really, it kind of fades out.
Ah, okay. Well, that was pretty clear. What was Start the Killing? That was another one we picked here.
Start the Killing, there was actually connected to a murder and actually showed documents. A guy shot his wife and then his sister-in-law. And we actually... It's kind of hard to hear it, though, but it says start the killing, and you hear a girl, "Not me, her." So it actually made sense to the killing.
Okay, let's play this one.
And we have newspaper reports of this.
Yeah, that actually happened.
So this one you were able to verify. Yep.
By history documents, we actually found it.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
So this is about 13 seconds long.
Okay.
It's really hard to make out.
It is hard. It's not a Class A.
But there's definitely voices there, if nothing else.
And a girl's responded to him, "Just the other one, please." I mean, "Just the other one." It did loop it twice, too.
Right,
twice at the end, just so people know. And then we got the paper. Actually, that place was pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. It was really active.
What else happened there?
A girl got pushed down the stairs and broke her arm, I think, or leg. But she's seen the shadow person chasing her. She chased her out of the house a couple times. And, yeah, it was pretty crazy. My ghost box shot sparks about 7 to 8 inches across on the table.
And it's never done that before.
It's never done it. You can actually hear it popping. It makes a popping noise on my digital recorder. You can hear it. And it burnt the table. It's still there.
We felt bad because we try not to. We try to leave things the same as they were.
Right. It literally, she's still got the burn in her table. It's about 7 inches long from the spark shooting into her table.
Now explain to people what a ghost box is.
A ghost box is something ghosts can communicate through. It runs through it circulates energy and lets the ghost use that energy to scan words and then actually use those words. But they're predetermined words in that. It's like a speaker chip.
Okay.
But they let them use that speaker chip and.
But we've got things not on the speaker chip.
Right.
Swear words.
Really?
Yeah. And we've got names.
My names came across like one night, like five times. Like,
one of my favorite ones was a case in Elmira, and this guy's brother was having issues, and he thought their father was there, and he said, "Dad, if you're here, give me a sign." And on the ghost box, you hear 3 times in a row, "Help Mike, help Mike, help Mike." Mike was his brother's name that was having problems. So it was like a very intelligent response from the ghost box, which doesn't usually say names.
Right.
And it was the brother's name that it said. So
sometimes it's so intelligent, it actually connects the names and to what the person's asking. I mean, that's really hard to, you know, it's hard to do.
You were telling me recently you had a very interesting case, probably a few weeks. I think when we first set this up a couple months ago.
Which I'm trying to think.
You had a lot of activity.
We've done a few now.
Maybe the Spencer place.
The Spencer house? Oh, the Voodoo house. We call it the Voodoo house because the previous owner actually did voodoo. And she goes, there's still goat parts in the basement. So I'm like,
they were
no
sacrificing
way.
Goats.
Oh, great.
So I went down there. I found a chopping block where he was cutting the goats up. We found the goat legs.
Dried goat leg.
It was pretty crazy. And then it had this one part. He was burning stuff. Had ashes. I don't know what the heck was in the ashes. I mean, it just had some really bad energy in there. But come to find out, the house had always been haunted. The medium went in. She goes, that guy was doing, they call it Santeria too. Mm-hmm. It's connected to voodoo. She says, he was protecting himself. And come to find out, he was taking a goat down there once a month. They'd always take the goat down, and they never see the goat again. Obviously, he was slaughtering the goat,
right,
and you know, bleeding him out, doing the blood sacrifice. He was actually protecting himself by doing that, offering the spirits more of a protection thing. He was scared, too. I guess he would sleep with a loaded gun. Like, what's that going to do, you know? So when the other owners died and these people moved in, the house was just crazy. You know, it's where the toys would go off.
Yeah, the teddy bear that I was telling you about earlier.
And they also played with a Ouija board, and that made it worse, and they left it open. So you can play with a Ouija board and actually put it back up on the shelf, and it can be open. They never close it.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorna, which I told you about before, walked in the house. She goes, where's the Ouija board? And I didn't tell her anything. She goes, that sucker's open. She says, you got to close that. She says, I couldn't believe it. And she threw it out in the yard, and she goes, put your hand over that. And this was in the summer times, about 75. It was really warm out, humid. And I could feel air coming out of the Ouija board, like a almost cold, like air conditioning.
Wow.
I'm like, holy crap, you can feel that cold air. She goes, yeah, it's open. And she closed it. And she goes, now do it. Oh, yeah, it's gone. It's nice and warm. I'm like, that's weird.
Now, do you think the Ouija board itself is a problem, or is it just that it's a focus of energy?
It's a focus of energy. She said it was a portal. It was actually opening that spirits were using. They were getting kids. They were getting all kinds of forms of different entities in there, not just one entity. They're multiple entities.
You might get some true spirits, but when it's open like that, anything could come through.
It's a portal that can travel through. And we actually seen portals in kids' rooms. The kids don't even realize the kids are so open. They actually make their own portals. And Lorna found one in the wall. She says, feel that cold spot right there? That's where it's all activities coming from. I'm like, that's weird. And she closes it, and then it's warm again.
Huh.
So actually, my dowsing rods have pointed to the portals, too.
Yeah. So you use dowsing rods. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, my grandmother was sensitive, so I got some sensitivities. Actually, I can feel rooms and different energy. But my dowsing rods actually take me to different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And actually helps me set up. And a lot of some of our evidence that we've gotten is because of my dowsing rods took me there. And actually, I can get yes, no questions. And like today, I did a fair, and I just walk up. There's a bunch of people out, and we were doing a lecture, and I walked up, and there's a 60-year-old man connected to you. She goes, yeah, my grandfather died at 60. So I was actually dowsing people, too. So it was kind of interesting that they're pretty accurate most of the time. So.
And what do you think causes them to work? Do you think it's coming from your subconscious?
I think it's my energy it's using. Actually, my hairs and my arm will stick up. I'll actually get signs like when I get a good hit, I know it's right, my hair and my arm will shoot up. So I'll feel the energy.
You also said you've had a bunch of dealings with shadow people. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of investigations with shadow. The last one we did, the guy would look down his basement, and he would see a shadow guy walking around his basement and just crazy stuff, or in his bedroom at night, you know, walking by his room. I'm like, are you sure? We'd look, you know, make sure there's no cars coming by. And
right.
No, it was a solid shadow mass, and we've been getting that a lot.
On our website, there's a shadow person in the Cortland Poorhouse.
Yeah, we've actually caught on video to actually set the motion light off, and then you can see the shadow go by the wall.
So it's tough to see, but you can see it if you know.
We've caught in shadow people on video, too, so it's pretty interesting. But, you know, I asked my dowsing rods, were you ever born? You ever exist? And it said, no. So that kind of made me wonder what these shadow people are. They're in a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
They never existed human-wise. So what are they? So a lot of mediums say they're from another dimension. And they're either here to observe us, you know, check us out, or are haunting. I don't know.
And a lot of times they get associated with negativity.
Right. Yeah. And not all cases were negative, though. They weren't getting hurt. They were just shadow people there, but, you know, and some of them were negative. It was like 50-50. So, we just can't figure them out. And the mediums don't even know. It's like I send them back to the void. I don't know where I'm sending them. because I don't know where they came from. All I know is I'm getting them out of here. So.
And why do you think they listen to mediums?
I think they know they're sensitive and they can see them, and they're like, "You need to leave." You know, they can have that communication. It's open for them. Where a normal person wouldn't be able to sense them or see them, you know. Well, they do see them, but not communicate with them.
What percentage of these cases you've investigated have been negative?
Small percent,
yeah.
Would you say maybe like 10%?
Yeah, 10%, where people are actually getting harmed or, you know, something negative's happened.
Do you know how many cases you have investigated at this point?
About 50?
Yeah, it'd have to be over 50. I do the local TV show.
So he does more than I do.
So I've probably done hundreds of investigations because I've done like 35 TV shows.
Right, you're doing it with another group as well, right?
Yeah, Mike Angley, we do a TV show, Discovery Paranormal, but he just changed the name to American Ghost Hunters.
Okay.
So yeah, it's on Channel 13, Friday night, 9 o'clock.
And that's here in Ithaca.
Here in Ithaca, yeah.
What about
Time Warner?
Is it on YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah, you can check out the shows there. We've done some pretty cool cases.
Okay, do you know what the YouTube is offhand?
No.
Or how people can find it?
No, I just know if you type in American Ghost Hunters, you'd probably find us. Okay. Or Discovery Paranormal might have a link to it.
Okay.
.org.
So you've done a lot more than you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've actually traveled around the world. I've stayed in Lizzie Borden house overnight.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah,
and places like that.
Anything weird ever happened when you were doing that?
You know, it was actually pretty quiet. We were actually kind of, you know, back then, it was years ago, so we didn't have like a digital recorder. We didn't have like our equipment with us like we usually do now, but
it didn't
feel weird though.
What equipment do you use? I mean, we talked about the EVPs. We've talked about the dowsing rods.
We use a lot of scientific equipment. We actually have trail cams like you'd use on a deer. And we'll set them up in the room, and anything breaks that motion light, it snaps pictures.
Mm. And so some of our best pictures have came from the trail cams.
I like that because you don't have to sit back and take 100 pictures. Your trail cam's taking pictures while you're walking through the room. It's kind of a pain to look over, but I like they're time-stamped, and they know exactly when you take, you know, took them. Right. And then sometimes we'll get like something there and it'll be gone within seconds. So it's pretty interesting.
And the trail cam we usually set up to take 3 pictures right in a row.
Oh,
and that way you have 3 pictures.
To compare.
Sometimes, like the lady by the computer that we have, which I think is some of our best evidence, first picture, nothing is there. Then you see a lady. Then you see Peter and the lady, and she's starting to fade away. And Peter's very crisp and clean in the picture.
This one is a good example. It took 100 pictures, and this arm showed up in this window.
Hmm. And there was only one.
It was only, one picture with the arm in it. It snapped hundreds of pictures.
Could it be something other than an arm, though, too?
We tried to debunk it, and I actually went outside and even tried to
Well, no, I mean, even if it is an apparition, could it be something other than an arm?
It could be. It looks like, we blew it up. It's kind of fuzzy in this picture, but it actually looks like an arm and a hand coming up. And I actually went outside and tried to put I couldn't even put my arm out, and there's weeds around, trees around it. So there's no way a person could have been messing around.
Hmm.
And actually, we found out later there was a story of a farmer lost his arm out back.
In the field.
In one of the machinery, he got his arm in the machinery. I thought that was kind of interesting that we got the arm, and then he told us a story about the farmer losing his arm. So, is it connected? Who knows? We just thought it was pretty cool.
But in that case, it was only one split second, and yet there was lots of pictures taken in that.
Yeah, area. It was only in that one picture, which is very strange.
And, are there any cases? I mean, I'm sure there are cases where you get nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there cases where you get just one thing and then nothing else? Or is it like all or nothing type of situations?
Sometimes you get like one EVP, you'll get basically not much, and we'll tell the owners, we really didn't get much. You might have a personal experience, but if you didn't catch it on video or audio, then it never, really to us, it never happened. It's just
and it doesn't mean that they don't have activity. It just means that night. Our other brother calls it like fishing. Some nights are good and some nights aren't so good.
It is. I mean, some nights you don't get anything. It's dead. I mean, you go in there like literally like just sit there like, man, it's nothing going on. And we just pack up our stuff and go home.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get everything every time. You're not going to get evidence.
I had a guest on who makes robots.
Okay.
To do ghost hunting. And that was his thing, that since you can't be there 24 hours a day, he makes these solar power robots and they...
That's cool.
They walk around and take pictures and record 24 hours.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, if you're capable of doing that. He worked for NASA and stuff, so he was, you know, into robotics. And
that's actually pretty cool.
It's a great way to go with it.
Yeah, and now you see security cams up all over the place. Mm-hmm. People are putting security. You know, some of it's fake, but some of it's...
Of course.
Yeah, it's some of the stuff you see on YouTube and stuff or Facebook, whatever. But it's interesting, all the video out now.
I think the problem with our technology is, we got this great technology to capture stuff, but it's so easy to fake stuff.
You can fake stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
I mean, that goes for UFOs, ghosts, whatever, you know, what have you. Any of it is so easy to Photoshop, to do digital effects on, you know.
Yep. I think that's where you got to be credible as a group. You can't go out, and people that have gone out with us, like, you guys are pretty, you know, you really debunk everything. It's like, yeah, we want to be credible. We don't want to be this people that just throw stuff out there and say,
you know. Kind of tickles us to have somebody go out. And I remember one of the college kids that went out, and we're on one level with the TVs, and in the basement, motion lights are going off like crazy. And he's like, wow.
He goes, this stuff's for real, isn't it? I said, yeah. And then we got EVPs. I'm like, well, you were right there when you asked questions, and we got a little girl answering them. He goes, that's crazy. Yeah, I can't believe that. So he was pretty blown away.
Huh. So. What are some of your favorite cases?
Favorite cases? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, Hammondsport, even though it was scary,
that was a scary case.
It was a scary case. I mean,
the people were getting pinned down to the bed?
Yep, that was good.
We actually just got a video clip of a guy. Should we talk about the guy in the Interlaken house?
Oh, yeah. That was cute.
We're like, go up. We told the owner, friend of a friend of the owner, he went up, this big burly guy. I said, go upstairs and, you know, do stuff. And he is provoking, you better move something, you better throw something. Well, just after he said that, a frame flew off the dresser and it hit the wall. I mean, I'm talking like 4 feet across, and it hit the wall. You can hear it on the video. It scared the living crap out of him.
Says some things.
He dropped F-bombs. He dropped like 10 F-bombs. His eyes were so big, and he's in total darkness, which we can see him with the infrared, but it was so funny.
Did you get the picture frame actually flying off the dresser?
You can hear it.
We can hear it. There was a fan set up right in front of it, but we can see where it physically slid off in the dust and then a little hit the wall and slid down behind the wall. We could, you know, tell what happened.
Definitely hear it.
But you can hear it, yeah.
And it's that's on our site, so people might want to look at that one. I mean, it's like comic relief, poor guy, at his expense.
He goes, that really happened? He's like, man, that's crazy. He's a big, burly guy, too, so kind of makes it funny.
And that's ghosthuntersofthefingerlakes.com. Any others that stick out to you?
The voodoo house.
The voodoo house was pretty crazy.
That was where the toys went off.
Right.
And you had an experience with a rocking horse, which was kind of cute.
Seneca Falls.
Funny at his expense.
Right. The lady said, about 3 o'clock, that rocking horse goes off every night. And you have to physically squeeze the horse's ear to make it go off.
And they'll go off for about 2 minutes.
So we're all sitting there. It's really quiet. Nothing was happening for like an hour. All of a sudden, my flashlight falls over in the hallway and turns on. And it wasn't turned, you know, it was off. It was just standing up in the hallway. And my brother goes, there's a light in the hallway. I go, yeah, my flashlight just fell over and turned on. That's weird. So I went over to pick the flashlight up, and the horse, it was like inches away from the horse. The horse went off the same time I went to pick the flashlight up.
Nays, and Peter's like, I was like, whoa. And
the thing is, my energy just shot right through me, too. It was so strong in there.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was like at the same time. I was like, I jumped out of the way of the camera, but at the same time, I was like, it shocks you, like, when it happens. So.
Sure.
Huh. But they were laughing. They got a kick out of it. the rocking horse.
Was it right on time?
What's up? Yeah.
When it went off?
About 3 o'clock, yeah. And the owners, see, that's what happens.
Yeah, you can hear them on the long video. You can hear them say, see?
We told
this
you.
This is what happens.
Because they were there. They're like, see, we told you.
Do you usually have the owners there when you do the investigations?
We try to, and we actually sometimes, because they're familiar, we call them familiars, we'll actually have them ask EVPs to do EVPs. Like, but, you know, think about what you want to ask, and they'll say, well, why are you tormenting my kid, or why are you doing that? We can actually get good responses because they want to know, you know, they're really into it.
It
helps.
And I feel more comfortable with them there because we just don't want to go take over their house and say bye-bye.
Right.
You know, it makes people feel more comfortable to be there to see what we do. And they find it interesting, too.
And it makes us more credible because they know we're there and they're watching us investigate.
Right.
They're there with us, so if something happens, they're like, yeah, that really happened. I was there in the living room when that happened.
How do the two groups you work with differ? Like, is there any different?
Are you talking about the TV show?
Like the TV show versus your family group.
TV show is more based with mediums right with you at the same time as I'm doing my dowsing rods. So we have one or two mediums, and I actually do my dowsing rods. So it's still scientific, but we're all together at the same time, which we usually do it separate. We do the scientific part, and then the medium comes in later.
And we've shared different places at the same time. You know, we have nothing against that. I say I'm too fat for TV.
It is interesting. It's not much different, really. I mean, you just go and investigate like I would use my dowsing rods.
Okay, but a slightly different approach.
It's slightly different because you have mediums there. Everybody's there at the same time. So, yes, it's not cut up. It's not separate. Like, we try to do our scientific part. I use my dowsing rods. It's a little bit less scientific, but...
And then give people the option if they want somebody to come in, you know, that we know people that... would willingly come in and help them out.
Right.
And I really give a lot of credit to the people that help us out with that afterwards. They don't have to do that either, but I think they're in it for the same reason we are, to help people.
Actually, I stay in contact with the people, and I'll call back later, or they'll call me, and I was like, how's your house doing? Like, it's quiet. You know, the medium came in, and she got rid of everything. It's so quiet now. Hmm. Or, you know, the activity's minor compared to what it was. So.
And you said you've seen an increase in cases. Have you seen an increase in, like, the number of cases that you get evidence at as well?
Yeah, we're getting more EVPs. Seem like more shadow people. We're getting cases like...
More credible cases.
Full apparitions. Yeah. I mean, not just, oh, you know, something's moving or I hear footsteps. Right. They're seeing full shadow people or full apparitions. They're like, yeah, I seen the little girl standing right in front of me. Full apparition. So it's different.
Anything else? Like anyone ever have monster sightings or anything weird like that?
No. Mainly just spirits.
Mainly spirits. Nothing like UFO. One guy said he thought he seen UFOs out in Seneca Falls. There was always bright lights zipping around.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen them outside a lot.
And what did we think? We thought it was the little sky lanterns possibly in the air.
Yeah, Chinese lanterns or somebody's messing with them.
Well, the thing with UFOs, just like anything else, it's so, especially now with so much stuff in the sky.
Right, satellites.
I mean, drones and satellites and... Mm-hmm. Experimental aircraft, and who knows what else they have. When these reports were coming back in the 1700s,
right?
Okay, we weren't flying. We didn't have anything up there.
Exactly.
Now it's so hard to differentiate between what's ours.
Right, weather
and
balloons.
What might be anomalous. Exactly.
Yeah.
You videotape a fuzzy light in the sky. Okay, great. It's doing some weird stuff, but we don't know what the government has.
Exactly. They're not telling us either. So.
You know, it could be 30 years before we know what they had today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's hard to tell. It's hard to be credible in that either, so...
Yeah. Well, all of this stuff is hard because there are so many tricksters and fakers out there that are, you know, just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes or make a buck at it.
Right.
You know, the guy who has the frozen Bigfoot, that
killed me. I'm like, that's got to be...
And the one good thing about us is we do this for free, so we're not in it for the money.
Right.
So that takes some of the pressure off, on one hand.
Yeah. And you're not doing a weekly TV show that's, you know, needs to keep its ratings up.
Right.
We're not in it for any... You know, we're just in it to help the people. We're not in it to try to...
And see what we discover. And being there myself, some of the picture of the farmer, I was sitting at the table as he's starting to form. I did not have a clue. And for me personally, it's a good feeling to know I was right there. There was nobody sitting at the end of the table.
The owners were right there, too, in the living room while we were doing it, so they knew nobody was there. Yeah.
So that is a good feeling that you're getting evidence that you can not explain.
Right.
So has this exceeded your expectations when you started doing it?
I would say totally.
Totally, yeah.
Have your viewpoints on any of this changed since the beginning?
Quite a bit.
How so?
We didn't think we'd get as much evidence, and we didn't think we'd be helping people. We just thought, well, we'll go out and investigate. It'd be kind of cool. It's more of a you know, just to go out and have fun and get evidence.
And now, I thought we'd be begging for cases.
Yeah.
I didn't think that cases would come to us so easily as they do.
Yeah, they say, oh, we heard you did another house, and a lot of times it'll piggyback off.
You'll get it word of mouth that gets you your cases?
Word of mouth, just people that know you, you're credible.
And the website, too, I think.
Yeah.
You have you stuck mainly to upstate New York as far as investigations go?
Pretty much. We did a
sometimes when we're on vacation, like the Del Coronado Hotel. We had a chance to stay in that when we were out in San Diego.
That was called the Kate Morgan room. She actually committed suicide in the room, and the room's always been active. And we got a weird EVP. I don't know if you got it. It says, "Are you naked?" Which we thought was really weird. Why would you say, "Are you naked?"
I think we do have that. What was that one? What was the place?
It was Del Coronado. It's called the Kate Morgan room.
Yeah, I think we did have
It's a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
Expensive to stay at, but we figured, why not? If we get to stay in her room, that's
Kate
great.
Kate Morgan, here we go. No. Let's hear this. It's only 8 seconds long. So you looped that
three times. I slowed it down the last time, but yeah, it was real weird. It was a woman's voice, and she was in her, you know, 20s. So it could be. It could have been Kate Morgan, you know, but why would she say, "Are you naked?" It's like, I know it wasn't us.
So, no, it wasn't.
So we were all asleep. You know, I just left my digital recorder running. So I was like, why would it say, "Are you naked?"
We were hoping to get actually more evidence there because there was a lot of stories and we didn't. But the funny thing that tickled me about that place, too, we got up at about 2, 3 a.m., and walked all over this elegant hotel taking pictures, and nobody stopped
Digital recorders were doing recorders. Nobody messed with us.
So. Well, clearly you were supposed to be there.
There you go.
All right, well, we are just about out of time. I thank you for I've been trying to get you up here since we started the show.
Yeah.
Because you came up to the music show before, which was a lot of fun as well. And some of the video for that is up on the Where'd the Road Go site if you go way back to the beginning.
Okay.
Give everyone your website again.
Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes.com.
And if they want to search for the TV show?
It'd either be discoveryparanormal.org or americanghosthunters.org,
okay.
I believe.
I'll try and put a link up when I put the podcast of the show up.
Okay.
And maybe we can have you back sometime in the next few months.
It would be come back with a lady that does the hypnosis.
Yeah, that would be great.
And maybe she can put one of you guys under and do a past life regression because she's doing that right now a lot.
Interesting.
If you dare.
If you guys want to do it, and she can put you through past lives.
I don't know if it's a good idea on the air, but maybe.
Yeah, I think it'd be great on the air.
All right. Well, I thank you for coming up. And, Ghost Hunter of the Finger Lakes.com.
Yes.
All right. Psyche Corporation taking you out right here. This is Nightmares, appropriately. Last Exit for the Lost is up next for those of you listening live. And we'll see you next week.
Shut the closet door, it's under the floor, the monster's there. Don't leave me here, among these ghosts. You promised me nightmares the day I was born. You promised me hellfire, you were so sure I grew up waiting. Of waiting for your curses to catch up to me. Burn me, chew me, slake me, thrill me. I don't want the unicorn, I want the bloodsucker. Modify the uniform, cause I'm a monster. Just let me burn, dear. suffering. Doom, 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 doom. Sick of waiting for your curses to catch up to me. Burn me, chill me, slake me, thrill me. This is a sound I've heard before. It's like a voice asking for more. Ma chère éclate à cause des ailes. En grand spectacle de primavera. Shut up.